Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is Friendship Sunday. Welcome. If you're new to our congregation, I'd like to explain to you one of the foundations of our faith here at Christ Lutheran Church. We believe the Scriptures are God's Word, that they are God's inerrant and infallible Word to us as the Holy Spirit inspired them to be written down by the holy men of old for our sakes. And we get this belief confirmed in Scripture. Jesus said in John chapter 10, Scripture can't be broken. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And Peter says in his second letter, no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And so we believe what Peter and Paul and Jesus say here is that this book, these Scriptures, did not come by the impulse of man making them up, but the Holy Spirit himself inspired the men of old to write down the words in such a way that the words they wrote down were and are the very words of God to us. So we believe the Scriptures are God's Word. The question that I have today is, if the Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures to be written, why did the Holy Spirit see fit to record so carefully for us in the Scriptures the many sins of the saints, even of the all-star famous Christians of the Bible, the saints? I mean, if men were to write this book, right, and if this were a creation of man trying to put forth a religion of their own creation, they would have just given the highlights and the good points of the saints, the heroes of the Bible, right? But the Holy Spirit, in his wisdom, decided it was best to record for us the many and catastrophically terrible sins of the best saints of the Bible. My question today is, why? Why do we have all these bad points recorded for us in the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit? What does he mean? What's he trying to teach us? And how is he going to grow our faith and encourage us by this? You with me? So first of all, let's take a look at some of the examples of the sins of the saints in the Bible. See some of the places where they really messed up. Genesis chapter 6, it says, Noah was a righteous man and blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Sounds good, right? Check plus so far. We turn over to Genesis chapter 9. After the flood, the sons of Noah went forth from the ark with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah began to be a tiller of the soil. He planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. Naked. I wonder what Mrs. Noah thought of this. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, walked backwards, and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away, and they didn't see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan," etc. What a problem. Here he is, one of the best saints of all, and he is doing one of the worst things. He gets drunk, and he's naked, and he brings shame upon himself. Have you ever been drunk and done something stupid? Noah did. What's the Holy Spirit's purpose in trying to putting these things in there? What's he trying to teach us? Well, let's go to another one of his our famous, great, awesome, amazing saints of the Bible. We go to Abraham a few chapters later. In Genesis chapter 12, what do we read about Abraham? The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I'll show you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Is that a check plus? All right, he's doing great because he's walking by faith. He hears God's word and obeys it. But then in the next, later in the chapter, we hear, now there was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you're a woman beautiful to behold. But when the Egyptians see you, they'll say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared on your account. It's Valentine's Day, all right? Your husband takes you to the bar, and a bunch of the men, in our day, a bunch of the men want to come and molest you. And your husband quickly whispers to you, say you're my sister, so they'll leave me alone and let me live. Would that endear you to him on Valentine's Day? Would that be a really fragrant flower to share with him? Or other way around, whatever. This is a man of faith who did great things by faith, walked by faith, and yet here's a moment in his life when he caved in to fear and didn't act from faith. Men, is this trusting in God? Well, and I ask you, have you ever acted from fear in your life and not from faith? Abraham did. What's the Holy Spirit's purpose in telling us this? Well, let's read about one of his sons, Jacob. He was a man greatly loved of God, and he walked by faith. God even says of him, his title is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, here in Genesis 27, he heard that his father Isaac was going to give the blessing to his brother Esau. And so he went into his blind father, posing as his brother to steal his blessing. And we read, so he went into his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that you may bless me. Isaac said to Jacob, come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. So he crosses his fingers more or less behind his back and he lies. This is Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet here we see this great saint of the Bible who is in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, of the Bible. And here he is, he lies. In fact, he commits three sins against the Ten Commandments. He didn't honor his father in this case. He bore false witness. He lied, that's two. Thirdly, he stole from his brother. And yet this is one of the great saints of the Bible whom God greatly loved and accepted. What is the Holy Spirit doing in recording these kinds of things for us? Time would fail me to go into detail of all the others, but let me give you just a few more in brief. Lot, Peter says, is a righteous man, was a righteous man in his generation. He says that in his letter. But then what do we read about Lot? After he walked by faith and was saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he goes up into the hill country out of the city of Zoar, and his daughters scheme against him, get him to be drunk, and he sleeps with his daughter and has incest and a child by her. And then not only that, but two nights in a row with the other daughter that they might, they say, preserve children through their father. But is this something that is a check plus on his side? No, but the Holy Spirit records a time when he terribly messed up. Jacob had 12 sons, from whom we get the 12 tribes of Israel. Friends, this wasn't the Brady Bunch. We don't look at the life of Jacob's family and say, I want to be like that. And there was bickering and fighting. And in fact, the brothers conspired against Joseph to kill him and then to throw him into a pit. And then it ended up selling him into slavery in Egypt, among other things. It's terrible, right? How about Rahab? She's a saint, a hero of the Bible, with whom the Holy Spirit speaks so highly of and loves. And yet, what do we find out about her? That she gave by faith, protected, friendly welcome to the spies of Joshua and Jericho, but she was a harlot. She was a woman, a prostitute, who sold her body to men, perhaps thousands of them, in Jericho, and yet God loved her and called her a saint. David committed adultery and murder. You know that story. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Thomas doubted Jesus' resurrection. All the disciples deserted Jesus on the night of his betrayal. And the chief of sinners, Paul, who was the greatest of saints, was the worst of sinners. It says in Acts chapter 8, Saul, who was Paul, consented to the death of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. And Paul ravaged the church, entered house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison, just like the Gestapo. So this is one of the worst things we see in the Bible, recorded for us here amongst the Hall of Fame best saints God's loved in the Bible. Here we see some of their worst and terrible sins. Quite a host of characters, wouldn't you say? Yet they're all saints, our brothers and sisters. We expect to see them in heaven. And how is this possible? What's the Holy Spirit trying to tell us when he gives us the stories of Noah, Abraham, Lot, Jacob, Rahab, David, Peter, Thomas, Paul, and others? What does he mean by recording for us all the sins of the saints? Well, I think we can find that answer. If we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's talking about himself as the worst of sinners. He says, verse 13, "Though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him, I received mercy because I'd acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the foremost of sinners. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life." Why did God put the sins of the saints in the Bible? These terrible sins, drunkenness, rape, incest, sleeping around, adultery, murder, lies. Why did he put all these in there? Because God wanted to show his perfect patience to you. If you and when you've committed all these same kinds of things in your life, if God could love them, God can love you too. If God can accept them, God will accept you too. Remember that hymn that we sing about Paul? It says, "Chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. As the branches to the vine, I am his and he is mine." The saints all fell in various ways and at various times. Drunkenness, incest, marrying your sister, murder, adultery, fornication, cowardice, doubt, impatience, anger, even raging against the church. Yet God loved them still, drew them to himself in Christ, and provided the perfect sacrifice to cover their sins and the faith to draw near to him. God loved them, and he can love too, you too. Do you believe that? You know, why do we need to have a sermon like this? We already know this. Ever since childhood we sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And yet, a lot of times in our lives, we get to points where we doubt that God could really accept me. Because we look at our sins, we look at the terrible things that we've done, and we think, how could God yet love me? I've acted in terrible ways. I've broken his laws. And I recall my former sins, And it puts me, they scare me. And then, as I've been doing lately, I'm listening to the Bible as I work in the morning in the kitchen, and I've been listening to the law of God. And as I hear his high and holy law, it makes me all the more afraid, because I hear about what God's ways are, and I remember how I've fallen short, and I get to the point where I'm shaky or faint or fail a bit in my faith, and I tremble because I think, could God really love me? Can God accept me and love me? For we hear the law. Jesus said, I say to you that everyone who looks lustfully at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Have you ever looked lustfully at somebody else? Then you are an adulterer. It's not like you kind of are. You, according to God's law, are an adulterer. How about if you've ever hated someone? Jesus says that you've heard it said, you shall not kill, but whoever kills, and whoever kills shall be liable to the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Have you ever hated somebody in your life? The Bible says you're a murderer, because you've at least murdered him in here, so you're a murderer. Wow! I'm not so sure God accepts me. You shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall not lie, bear false witness. You ever done that? You shall not covet. You ever done that? You shall not steal. Ever done that? You shall not swear or misuse the name of the Lord your God. Ever done that? The more I hear, the more I realize how far short I fall of God's glory. His laws are high, and though I acknowledge they are all right and good, yet the more I hear them, the more despairing I become, because I realize how far short I fall of his commands. And then my faith begins to teeter and totter and quiver and faint and fail. Could God even love me? Because my sins are terrible. But then you know what happens? At those times when you feel like that, the Holy Spirit comes alongside you and directs you to look at the sins of the saints he's recorded for you in the Holy Scriptures. It says, drunkenness, you've been drunk. Noah got drunk, lay uncovered in his tent. Lot got drunk and did some terrible things, slept with those you should not have slept with. Yet I loved and saved them by covering their sins. I can love and save you. Have you ever caved into fear in your life? Well, remember Abraham. He did. I forgave and loved him. You ever lied? Remember Jacob. I loved and forgave him. You ever had sexual immorality? Rahab was a harlot, and I loved and saved her. You ever had adultery and murder? David did, and I loved and saved him. Ever denied me and had cowardice? Peter did that, and I loved and saved him. You ever raged against the church? Well, Paul did that, and I loved and saved him. And I can love and save you, and I do. For each of these saints, God cherished them, he loved them, he sent his son, Jesus, to die for them, to cover their sins, to wash them, and to give them names greater than sons and daughters in his kingdom. If God so loved them, he can love you. He can love me. Remember what we read in the scriptures? It says, early in the morning, Jesus came to the temple. All the people came to him, and Jesus sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. Caught! And placing her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such. What do you say about her? Now, did she deserve to die? Yes. If a man is found lying with a woman of another man, both of them shall die, says the law of God, Deuteronomy chapter 22. But what does Jesus do? It says, this they said to test him, that they may have some charge to bring against him. So Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And he bent down and wrote with his finger again on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the eldest. And Jesus was left alone, standing with a woman before him. Jesus looked up and said to her, "Woman, where are they?" She "Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. God didn't put the terrible sins of the saints in the Bible to encourage you to sin. He loves righteous deeds. He is a righteous God. He wants us to live a good, God-pleasing, good deed-filled life. But when we have sinned, we have the comfort of the sins of the saints in the Bible, that the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, covered those sins by the blood of his cross. God loved them, and God can love you too. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners," says Jesus. Paul says the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I want to ask you today, do you believe and do you fully accept this phrase? He says it's worthy of full acceptance. Are you fully accepting it today? That your sins, you are accepted, loved, and cherished by God through Jesus Christ by faith, having believed in him. According to the law, all of us stand condemned, including myself. According to the gospel, we can all be saved. For Peter says, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brethren, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone that believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." God hates sin, but he loves the sinner and draws the sinner to himself, and he draws you near. Can you say this with me? The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. Amen. How do you draw near to God then? By him giving you a promise to believe by faith. We remember Abraham. He walked by faith, but he caved into fear. What did God say to Abraham? He says, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven. Number the stars if you're able to number them. So shall your descendants be." That's the promise. And then Abraham, it says, he believed the Lord, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. Here's a sinner, a man who did terrible things. A terrible Valentine's Day. Let me tell you a story. I was not going to say this, and I resolved not to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway now. I went out to buy these flowers last night. Beth is sick. I told her beforehand I was going to buy these flowers, and I said, "Where should I get them for the children's message?" I bought the flowers. I came home. She forgot I told her I was getting flowers for the children's message, and she was like, "Oh, that's so lovely." And I was like, "Oh, no. They're not for you. They're not for you. Get dagger, insert, twist, and pull out." Oh, man. I better do a great job on Tuesday. Valentine's Day. All right. Abraham did terribly. He sinned, a great sin. God gave him a promise. He believed, and he was reckoned as righteous, though he was a sinner. And Rahab also was a great sinner, but she had a promise. She said, "I know the Lord's given the land to you," she said to the spies. "The fear of you has fallen on us." You see, she believed and she had faith in God. She says, "Now then, swear to me by the Lord that as I've dealt kindly with you, you'll also deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign and deliver our lives from death." They gave her a promise. God gave her a promise. She believed. As Abraham did, she received it by faith and she was saved. Jacob was a liar. God gave him a promise. "Return to your country, to your kindred, and I'll do you good." He believed the promise, though he said, "I'm not worthy of the least of all your steadfast love and faithfulness." He received the promise by faith and was saved. David committed a murder and adultery. "I've sinned against the Lord." Nathan said, "The Lord's put away your sin. You shall not die." He believed on the Lord. receiving the promise and was saved. And Paul says of Abraham, Romans 4, no distrust made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Watch this. That is why his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness, because he believed the promise. But the words it was reckoned to him were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It'll be reckoned to us who believe in him that raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. God has given you a promise. I will cover your sins. I will forgive you. I'll accept you, cherish you, and love you. And he who comes to me, I'll never turn away. That's the promise. You believing that, worthy of full acceptance, this phrase is, this message, believing that, God reckons you as righteous and puts you in Coopertown, in the hall of fame of the saints of the Bible. Thus it's written, said Christ, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. What is that? Repentance and forgiveness. Are you forgiven today? Are you certain of that today? God wants you to go home from this message today absolutely certain, though I have had great sins in my life, that he loves me, that he has covered all of these in Jesus Christ. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God hates the sin but loves you, the sinner. Do you fully accept it? Praise be to God, what he has done for us. So the Holy Spirit encourages you today, to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. If you're new to our church, if you don't know him, if you don't know Jesus, I invite you to call on him today, believing on him as your Lord and Savior, and he will not cast you off. He will receive you in love. And if you have believed in him, if you falter in your faith, I direct you to the record of the Holy Spirit of the sins of the saints, that you might never fail or falter in your confidence. God could love them. God can love me too. God can love you, and God does love you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints. Amen.